Didn't know if we'd get up here more to know there's folks here that haven't got up yet. But pray the Lord to bless this morning. I'm thinking about our calling this morning. Calling. Paul said here in the third chapter of Philippians, about the 14th verse, which are your prayers, Lord help us this morning. It said, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling in God in Christ Jesus. Thinking about a high calling. High calling this morning. Paul referred to it as a high calling. Press towards that mark for the prize of the high calling. Sometimes I have mentioned, maybe we've said that being called into the ministry is one of the highest callings that any person could receive. I've expressed that. I don't believe Paul maybe was just talking altogether about that right here, but he was pressing towards something, a high calling, a high calling. And so, I was just thinking about the high calling of God. What you and I here this morning are called to be in this world. Paul said one time there in Corinthians, he said something about call, addressed the church of God there, and he said call to be saints. Call to be saints. So my way of thinking and my thought this morning that is the highest calling in all the world, is called to be a saint of God. Called to be a saint. That's what God is calling this morning. If you're here, if we're saved this morning, we're called to be a saint. Called to be a saint. Right here in this present world. High calling. Called to be a saint. And God help us this morning. We want the Lord to help us a little while here. Somewhere in the Bible it said something about being worthy of the call wherein we're called. Worthy of the call. Worthy of the vocation of which we are called. So we remember one time my brother married a Catholic girl, and you know the Catholics, they teach that the saints are all in heaven. You know, after they die, they canonize them or something or another, and they refer to them as saints. Somebody who had done something real outstanding or special or some great revelation or great miracle of God. Somebody had done like that, then they call what they canonize them or something or other, and they're called saints. The one time I was talking to him and I was referring to our people as the saints. And he said, do you call yourself saints? And I said, yeah, that's what we call ourselves. That's what the Bible refers to it being. Well, he said that's an awful high calling. You're testifying to an awful high calling, he said. And you know that's true. That's true. If we're testifying this morning to be a saint, we're testifying to a high calling in the Lord. To a high place above everything else in this whole world. We're testifying that we are living free from sin, and we're testifying that we've overcome the world, and we're testifying that we're living sober, and we're living righteously, and we're living godly right here in this present world. That's what our testimony is. When we say, I'm a saint, then I'm saying that I am a holy person. I'm living above all these kind of things. So the Lord is calling us to be saints this morning. And I'd like for us to consider that and think about how important that is, that we be worthy of that calling that He's called us to be. That we, wherever we live and wherever our community and wherever our neighborhood or wherever our congregation, I want us to keep in mind all the way through that I'm called to be a saint. I'm called to be a saint. Don't forget our calling. Don't forget what we're called to be. Because when things are going wrong or when I'm put under pressure or when I'm being challenged or when I'm being opposed or when things are coming against me, then I need to remember now I'm called to be a saint right here. I'm called to act like a saint under this pressure that I'm under. I'm being opposed. I'm being come against. I'm being mistreated. I'm being misunderstood. I've been misjudged and I've not been treated just right. And things are not going good for me and all those kind of things. But you and I need to remember that God's expecting you and I, if we have been testifying that we're saints and we've been testifying that we are the church of God and we've been testifying to the people around about us that that's what we are, then we have a responsibility under every situation and every condition and every thing that happens to us, we have a responsibility to abide by our calling, to remember that now I am a saint and I am supposed to conduct myself like a saint right here, right now, right at this very moment of time. I am exposed. I've been testifying to these people that I'm saved. I've been testifying to my children. I've been testifying to my husband. I've been testifying to my wife. I've been testifying to my loved one that I am a child, that I am a saint, that I am a church of God, and that I am living for the Lord. Now I have a chance to prove it under pressure. Do you know this morning that you and I are just what we are under pressure? That's what we really are. When everything going around, somebody said here the other day that why it's not hard to live for the Lord in camp meeting. Why nobody's had any problems here. Well, I guess maybe have had, but in this kind of an atmosphere and all the saints around and being in service, why you can just have real victory and you can just have being overcoming and you can be rejoicing and you can be praising the Lord, and that's all in order. That's all has its place. But you and I really, what we really are is when we're out there somewhere or another and the things are going bad and the pressure is on and the opposition has come and the devil is opposing in everything we do and everything that we try to do, and people are not treating us right and they're not understanding us and they're belittling us and they're making light of us, right there and then it's going to come out what we really are. That's when it's really going to show that I am a saint of God. And so may the Lord help us this morning to seek after the Lord, to abide in our calling. I am called to be a saint. I'm called to be an example right here. Just a few little things the Lord here is calling us to be. The Lord is calling you and I that are testifying this morning, right where we live, right in our home, right on the job, right in the school, right in my bringing up my family and my children. God is calling for you and I to be an example to this old world. That's calling us to lift up an example right where we are and leaving the example and leaving the imprint that there is a saint of God. I don't understand that fellow. I don't understand why he trusts the Lord. I don't understand his teaching. I don't understand how they live and why anybody would go. Somebody said, what do you do out there in those camp meetings? Why we just go to church? That's all we do. We go three or four times a day. My, that sounds awful boring. That sounds awful. Why would anybody want to do that kind of thing? But you and I, the Lord is calling you and I to be that example. Right where we go away from here and we go back to our home, go back to our job, go back to our congregation, go back where we live, right before the people that we have to deal with. The Lord is calling you and I to be saints right there on that place. Like it's already been mentioned, you may never go to Honduras, you may never go on the mission field somewhere or another, but God is calling you and I to be saints. I don't understand that people live down there, but I tell you, I can't, we can't understand maybe how they do, why they do what they do, but one thing we'll have to say, like they said of the disciples of old, you remember Peter and them fellow, why we know these men are ignorant and unlearned people, but we have to acknowledge one thing, they have been with Jesus. And so it is this morning. God is calling you and I this morning to be that example right where we are, lifting up Christ, exhibited Him in our life. That is a great, that's greater than all we can preach. You know, we can just preach and preach and preach, and we can teach and teach and teach, but you and us that are living this thing is what's going to have to carry it out. Don't you know that the way you live in your congregation, in your community, don't you know that that's reflecting what these people are connecting that? That's what they believe. That's what they stand for down there. You know, we're living in a seem like a time now that it's hard to get folk to come out to our meetings. It's hard to get them out to our revival meetings and those kind of things. But the Lord can take you and I that where we work and where we live and who we associate with, and we can put on exhibit what's being preached down at the chapel. That's the only way they're going to find out, it seems like, in this day and age that we're living in today. And so you and I, God is depending on us. I said something or another about the saints in light or something like that. But God is depending on you and I as the saints of God to live this life. That is the highest calling that there is in the world today, is to be a saint of God. And every time that we're tempted, every time that we are opposed, every time the pressure is put on, I need to remember now, I'm called to be a saint. I'm called to put on exhibition a saintly life right here, right while others are disturbed and others are confused and others is in an upheaval and all those things. God is calling me and calling you to put on exhibition right there what a real saint of God is supposed to be. You know, people know what saints supposed to be. Even the world knows when you testify to be holy people, and we testify to be the people of God, the church of God, we testify to be a saint of God, people actually expect more, you and I, to live. I know over home where we live, a little congregation there, right in the community where there's some old established churches there, been there for 200 years, probably almost or so, way back there, and they've got one here and one there. But I really feel that those people in that community, they actually expect more out of us folks. They really expect us to live a higher standard than the general religious people around about there. They look on that, and I feel like they would be disappointed. They've heard, they know about everybody around there, got acquainted about with in some way or another. But they, I feel like that they really expect, I believe, what was it, one company, maybe Standard Oil, used to have a slogan or something. They said, you expect more. You expect more out of Standard. That was one of their mottos or something. You expect more out of Standard. When you pull into a, used to be, and I don't know how it is now, they don't give much service station anymore, but used to, they had a reputation, or they tried to maintain a reputation, that when you pulled into a Standard station, you expected to get better service. You expected to have a clean restroom. You expected to be hospital people there. You expected good service. That's what they tried to advertise. That's what they tried to live up. And I really believe right where you and I live, right in the community where you live, right in the home where you live, right in the place where you find yourself, I believe the people, no doubt, right around there is expecting more out of you than they do the general run of the so-called Christians and all. So you and I, everywhere we go, we're going to represent. I'm thinking about this meeting here and what we're going to go away and what we're going to take home with us and where we go back to, all of our different places. Maybe they'll never be preached to. Maybe they'll never attend a service. Maybe they'll never come out to our revival meeting. Maybe they'll never go to camp meeting. But God would have you and I to live that saintly life right wherever we're at, putting on exhibition a real life of godliness and holiness. One definition of a saint is someone who is exceptionally patient. Lord help us right here. Exceptionally patient. Somebody that has it in control. They don't expect you and I to just be unsettled and just flying off in the handling, all out of control. What am I going to do? How are we going to handle this? Somebody needs to be there with a steadying hand. Somebody needs to be there to say, it's all right. Lord, you're going to take care of it. God will help us and all those things. Right there where I live, God has chosen you and I to be a saint right where we live at. Right to the neighbor, preaching the word. Bible said one place that we are, didn't he say, we are epistle known and read of all men. A lot of people will never pick up this Bible. Maybe the only Bible they'll ever read would be the life that you and I live before them. They don't pick them. Maybe they never don't understand the Word of God. But oh, they can't deny when they see a person who has got it in control. Somebody who's able to control their temper, control their emotions, control their selves, and be quiet under stress, show the right attitude, be able to manifest the right spirit and the right attitude. Right under the pressure, right when things are going bad, right when others are all up in the air, right when the great commotion going on, somebody's standing there able to look up to God, able to pray, able to put on exhibition something another there. Oh, that's what the world needs this morning. Oh, we got too much religion. I had written down a little saying somebody heard say that as the world gets more churchy, there are more churches now than ever before. Churches here, churches there, and some of them are growing by leaps and bounds, and they're just spreading out here, and their numbers are getting greater, and all those kind of things. But I heard this little expression, man, as the world gets more churchy, the church gets more worldly. The church gets more worldly. And so we can see that many places, people, really many people are actually in this day and age are just turned off with churchy things, with church things and religious things and people claiming to be Christians and all this things that's going on in our world today and all this immorality and all this perversion and all these kind of things trying to bring that and include it into the church and all people just look like the world, they act like the world, they dress like the world, they conduct themselves like the world, and you go down to the church house
crowd on Sunday morning. You couldn't tell where they was coming out of a nightclub or coming out of a church. You wouldn't know by the looks of them or anything like that. But oh, right in the midst of all of that, God is calling you and calling me. I just lift up a standard for the people at right there where you're at. Oh, this is the only way we're going to be able to scatter this thing. This is the only way that we're going to be able to accomplish what God wants us to be. I call to be a saint in every situation, under every circumstance, in every bit of opposition, and wherever I am or whatever I'm doing, in all of my business dealings and all of my association and all of my contact with my fellow man, God has called me to be a saint right there. Be a saint right there, showing that there is a reality. One time some years back, there was quite a bit of going on about these here television evangelists and all that, and how they were just fleecing the people out of their money, and how they were just crooked and all those kind of things. And so I don't know, I read some about that. The newspaper we have in Charleston, West Virginia, it likes to, anything against religion, it likes to build that up. they like to, it's an atheist paper, I think, or something, whatever. But anyway, it just likes to seem like, anyway, any scandal or anything that makes a bad name on religion, boy, they really like to write that up in their paper. And they were just making a big thing out of all these crooked television preachers and radio preachers and so forth. Oh, they're making big write-ups about that. So they was talking about how they were robbing the people and how they were demanding their money and all those kind of things. And so I wrote a little letter into the editor, and I told him how, I don't remember exactly all that I said, but I told him how I'd worked for the Lord, how I'd traveled for the Lord, and how I'd never taken up an offering for myself, that I didn't have any salary, and how we trusted the Lord, and things like that. I didn't have any idea why they would even put it in the paper at all, but oh, a few days, it come out in the paper. I didn't even put a head on it at all. I didn't put a title to it or anything, and it came back out in the paper. They had my letter in there, and the editor had said, the original. That's what he headed the letter, the original. So I was kind of surprised that they put it out there. Oh, that's what God would have you and I, right in the midst of all of this ungodliness, right in the midst of all this perverseness, right in the midst of all this make-believe religion and all this hypocriting around and professing something another and claiming to be something another. God would have you and I right in the very midst of that thing, right in the very center there, to stand out there as a city that's set on a hill that cannot be hid. And the only way we can do it, our words are cheap. Oh, there's so many words, so many talk, so much preaching, so many things. Turn the radio on and you just go across the dial. You can almost hear somebody preaching all the time, and you'll just notice they all preach something different, and they'll about every one of them will ask for some money before it's over, and so forth. But oh, the Lord, this is the world we live in, a corrupt generation, an adulterous generation, a sinful generation. This is the world we live in today. But God is calling some folks who's willing to step out and be one of them, called out of the world, separated from sin, separated from the world, separated from the things of the world, and stand out right there like a sore thumb, as the old saying might be, right in the midst of the whole thing. God's calling you and I to be an example right there, right there. And if there ever was a time, and we say that, make that statement, preachers do quite often, it must be today. It must be today. Because where you live, I'd say people today, generally speaking, in the world today, they wouldn't know where to go. I've often thought about these ministers' meetings they have, community, local ministerial association and things which I don't belong to and don't attend, but I've often thought about going to some of them and just make a little statement. Here we're all sitting around here, and we're claiming to be ministers, all of us. And the Bible said, many false prophets going out in the world. I wonder which one of us is a false prophet. It said, many of them are. Here we are sitting there, and one believing one thing, another believing another thing, another teaching, another preaching another thing. I wonder this morning, no wonder people are turned off religion today. No wonder our young people are frustrated today. No wonder they do that. Somebody up in New York City, I read some time ago, they asked a question. I believe one 12-year-old boy, asked him, had ever heard of Jesus? Never had heard of him. Never heard of him. Asked a 14-year-old boy, you ever heard of Jesus? Well, seemed like I heard something about his name sometime or another. The Lord help us this morning. Our children, the world, the young people of our land are growing up in a heathen nation almost anymore. The things that are being going on, being labeled as church, labeled as religion, it turns people off. The young people of our nation are frustrated. They don't know where to turn. They don't know, can't turn to the church anymore. They go down there. They've got their dance going on. All these things that emphasize worldliness. We got to have our ball games and our recreation and all these kind of things. That's all. One for a read somewhere, one preacher said, we're not even interested in all this. We're trying to help our young people to have something to do. We're trying to entertain them. We're trying to hold them where they can come to church. That with their dances and with all their parties and all their kind of things like that. This is the world you and I are living in today. It's a world of confusion. It's a world of unbelief. It's a world of ungodliness. It's a world of make-believe religion. It's a world where people don't know which way to turn. People are confused. They don't know what to do or where to turn to. But God is calling you and I as the saints in light. Not everybody has the light that some of us folks have here, but God's calling you right where you are, right where you are, to be a saint of God, to be a saint right where you are. Call your call. You say, I ain't got no calling. Yes, you have to. If you're claiming to be saved this morning, you've got a high calling, a high calling. And that is called to be a saint, sanctified, and called to be a saint of God. Setting an example right there, right where you're at. This is the way. What did it say one time? They said about old Brother Crawley, he made a statement. I understand, I didn't hear him, but I understand he made a statement one time. If you want to see a saint, watch me. Watch me. That sounds like it might be boasting a little, but that's what God wants it to be. That's what God expects, expecting out of you and I, saints in light. He's expecting us to be like that. You want to know how Jesus acts? Watch me. You want to know how Jesus handles himself under pressure? You watch me. The Lord help us this morning. When he was opposed, what was it? When he was reviled, he reviled not again. You want to watch me? You want to know the right way to go? Watch me. Watch me. Is that taking on too much? No, we're called to be saints. We're called to be a saint of God. We're called to be a holy person. We're called to be able to have some resistance and some victory and some power in our life. To be able to manifest the life of a Christian, the life of a saint, right under pressure. Right under pressure. Oh, does somebody call you for prayer? How about the neighborhood where you live? Do your neighbors call you for prayer? Help us, Lord. How about when they get in trouble? Do they ever contact you? No, you've lived there for years. You've lived right there for years. Nobody, the community ever calls you. May the Lord help us. I'm not saying this to brag, boast about our congregation or anything like that. But a few years back, there was some young young person, young lady was looking for some help, or something like that line. And she went to a Mennonite girl there, they have a Mennonite congregation there. And she went to this girl, if I remember just right, needing some help, wanting some help. She was in trouble or whatever it was. And she was wanting to know about her minister, where she could find her or something. The lady, I understand, told her, she said, well, she's told where our minister is. But she said, if you really want to get some help, go down there to the Church of God. The Lord help us this morning. Is that the kind of a reputation your congregation has, my congregation has? The Lord help us this morning. God wants you and I right there in that community, right where we live, to be a saint of God right there. Somebody that's making an impression. I've had people that say, well, I testified to them how the Lord blessed, how the Lord healed, how the Lord supplied her needs, and how all these, we've trusted the Lord with our children and all these kind of things, and how God has provided and made way. Oh, it said, I don't know, I could never do that, but I sure wish I had your faith. I sure wish I had your faith. Folks, you and I are preaching the Word of God louder than these preachers have been preaching it here. By the way we live, where we're at, is preaching louder than what these preachers are preaching around here at this meeting. So tonight, this morning, the Lord help us to check our lives this morning. Check out our calling. Am I worthy? Well, nobody's not worthy, but am I worthy to carry that name? A saint of God. I'm a saint. I'm a saint. The Lord help us this morning. Right here. Right in this age we're living in today. Right where everything else seems to be perverted. Right where everything, the nation we live in, is deteriorating fast. And I don't know how fast it's going to go. I don't know what God has in mind for us. But I know one thing. God is grieved with a lot of things that's going on. I know that. And I know God is not going to withhold His judgment from some of these things. I don't know what's going to happen, and I don't know when it's going to happen, but that don't change to you and I. God calling for you and I right in this very evening time, right in this closing up day, right down here at the very closing of the end. Oh, you and I have a responsibility. Us that have the truth, and us that have the light, and us that have the understanding of, oh, the church of God today as we know it, is going through one of the most trying times it's ever faced in the world. We're encompassed about, surrounded about on every side. They went up on the bread of the mountain. The battle of Armageddon is a raging. The camp of the saints is surrounded about. I have never felt so much pressure in the last couple of years in all my time in living for God. Everything I stand for, everything I've been taught, not everything, but a lot of things that we stand for, we believe, we've accepted, we've lived it, we stand on it. I'm being pressed on those things as never before. And so it is tonight, this morning, you and I need to get anchored down, take advantage of what's been offered here in this meeting, and take advantage of what's been offered last night in the message and the invitations that's been given out to consecrate our life. Put on the whole armor of God that we might be able to stand against all the wiles of the devil and stand right here in the midst of all this thing and lift up a standard for God and standing for truth, standing for right. I've been already mentioned this meeting. I will not bow down. I will not give in. I had a little vision the other day that brought out maybe down the Ranger about standing tall, I believe it was. And oh, how I seen Brother James was bringing out about the three Hebrew children there. And as they were there standing, I got a little vision. I've heard that story. I've read that story. I preached that story many, many times. But oh, I got a little thought out of that, or a little vision in my mind I'd never thought about before. I seen as he was bringing out about a standing tall. How did I seen a scene out there on the desert and the eastern country there, and those people I've seen in pictures, when they pray, bow down, they just don't just get down on their knees, they just lay down on the ground, or bow down on the ground, face forward, and I could just in my mind, I seen a great expanse of the desert country over there. I seen a multitude of people there laid down on the ground, bowing down to that idol that they had set up and commanded them to do. But oh, as I looked on that scene, I seen three figures standing out there right in the midst of all of that, and I had seen, I'd never seen it so clear before. What an odd spectacle. What a sight. What an outstanding something and other. Here, thousands of people or hundreds of people I've seen in my little mind vision just laying there on the ground, bowed down to that idol. But three people was standing there, and I'd like the brother brought out, I think they must have looked 10 feet tall compared. I don't know how tall they was, but I'd say they must have looked 10 feet tall standing out there all along by themselves. Everybody else had bowed down to this thing. And so it is today. If you live like a saint, you live a holy life, you live a godly life, you're going to stand out in your community, in your neighborhood, in your family. You're going to stand there and you're going to be a spectacle. You're going to be an odd-looking person standing right there, not going along with the fads and the ways and the fashions of the world, standing there living sober, righteously, and godly right in this present world, right in this generation, right in this age, standing out there. And there may be a time, Paul said one time, that all men forsook him, but God stood by him. You may have to stand alone sometimes. Somebody living away out there, isolated by yourself. Oh, what a beacon. Brother McCoy used to tell us, the darker the room, the brighter the light. The brighter the light. You take a real dark room. We were down in a cave here one time, Missouri, years back. Got out in there, and somebody turned all the lights off, and they talked about in Egypt about the dark being so dark you could feel it or something or another. When they turned those lights off, I put my hand right up there, and I couldn't see it. But, oh, somebody struck a match. One little old match in a great cavern there. Oh, it just lit up that whole thing. Seemed like it just lit up the whole thing. One little old light stood out there like that. Oh, the darker the place you live, the more ungodliness there is around. God don't want you. What did he say one place? He said, you're in the world. But how does it go there? But you're not of the world. And he said, I pray that you not be taken out of the world, but you be kept from the evil thereof. God don't want you and I running off somewhere or another over yonder, getting away from everything. He wants us to go right out there on the devil's territory. Somebody said during this meeting, well, we wish we could just all stay here. No, that ain't what God wants. God don't want you and I going off and forming us a commune somewhere or another, all bunching up somewhere together, leaning on one another, preaching to one another, wearing one another out. God ain't interested in that today. God wants you and I to go out there right in the very wickedest place. Lord, help us. There's people down there in Skid Row that need some help. There's orphan children. There's wayward young people. There's mothers that are in trouble. There's girls in trouble. There's boys in trouble. There's alcoholics. There's dope addicts. There's people with AIDS. And we just kind of tend sometimes to not just kind of draw back from those kind of people. But if you'll find Jesus and recognize when he was here on earth, where did you find him at? Up there most of the time. He wasn't out there where the big crowd was. He wasn't out there holding a big meeting somewhere or another. But oh, he said it's needful for me to go by Samaria. A little woman up there that's needing some help. Somebody up there has already been married 5 times. Ain't no hope for her. No use to pray for her. She's already so deep in sin. Her life is so corrupt. She's so involved. She'll never get out of that thing. But Jesus made a special trip and talked to this woman, presenting something to her that caused her to begin to hunger and thirst after some. And finally she said, oh Lord, give me this water. Then he said, go call your husband now. Go call your husband now. Lord, stir our hearts this morning. Stir our hearts. We have a tendency, we're not careful to have to just kind of form us in a little group somewhere or another, and we're just going to stand right there, and we're going to leave us all go. Lord, help us this morning. People have been talking to me in this meeting, and the message has been going forth. It's time that you and I moved our stakes out a little bit. It's time that we got out there on the devil's territory and began to claim some of these people. It's time that we go out there and rebuke the devil and bind the powers of hell. You're going to have to get right out on the territory or the ad. We don't need to sit around and wait for them. Jesus didn't say, wait for them, pray them in. He didn't say that. He said, go ye out there into all the world. And he said, go out and compel them to come in. I don't know all how much that means this morning, but the call is for you and I right there where we live, right there in our community, right down there in that there old people's home, right down there in that orphanage, right down there on Skid Row, right down there where those homeless people live, right down there where those orphan children are. God would have you and I to be saints right in those kind of things. And so it is, we are called to be a saint this morning. Call to be a saint. Now we testify so easily. We're so free with that word, it seems. I'm glad to be a part of the church of God. I am too. I'm glad that God ever called us out. I am too, and all those things. But if we're not very careful, we can take what we have and what God has revealed to us, and we can just get used to it, and we can take it for granted. And it's been already mentioned this member in this meeting. There is a tendency. You see, I just take things for granted. It kind of gets old on our hands sometimes. We've had it so long. We've been around so long. It's just like that. Oh, the Lord help us this morning. God calling you and I to be saints of God. Calling us to be a saint. Bless the Lord this morning. Well, some of these preachers said it's been awful quiet. That's all right. Calling us to lift up a standard for the people. Lift up a standard for the people. This is the way you're supposed to live. This is the way Lord wants you and I to live. This is the way. This is what God did for me. Maybe you don't be able to preach. Maybe you don't know the scripture too well. But the greatest message there ever was is to have a real definite testimony what God's done for you. God done for you. You can do that without animosity. You can do that without criticism. You can do that without offending. This is what the Lord done for me. This is what God did for me. That has more effect. Of all the messages I've preached in 30 some years, the most successful message I've ever preached has been the one about what God did for me. God did for me. I can tell that with authority. I can tell it because I know what happened. I know what God did for me. You don't have to go around picking on people. You don't have to offend people. You can tell them what God did for me. You don't have to say them old cigarettes, they're going to give you cancer if you keep smoking them. But you can tell them how you smoked for many years and God delivered you from those things. Oh, the Lord help us this morning. Lift up a standard. Lifting up a standard for the people. There's enough folks right here today. Just think of every one of us. We'll just go where we live and lift up a standard of holiness, of righteousness, of a victorious life. Got my problems in control. Not murder. What did he say over there somewhere in Hebrews? Said something about let your conversation be without covetousness. God don't want his people murmuring and complaining. He got after some folks over there, didn't he? Murmur not. Those people back there have murmured and complained these 10 times, he said. Finally, God was grieved with that. And he goes over there and Paul uses that for you and I not to murmur. God don't want us complaining. Oh, I'm having such a hard time. Oh, I just don't know whether I'm going to make it. The Lord help us this morning. Oh, I don't know. This way is so hard. but you're not going to make an impression much on your loved ones. And your children are watching how you live this morning. They're watching. They're watching how mom and dad are talking to one another. They're watching how dad is handling himself under pressure. They're watching what mom's doing when she don't feel well. When things are going, when the children are getting in her hair, so to speak. They're watching. They're watching. Oh, mom. Oh, dad. I thought you were saved. I thought you were saved. Lord, help us this morning. Right there where we're at. God, would have, let your conversation be without covetousness. Oh, Lord, I just need this and I need that. I need this. I need more of this. I need more of that. I'm having it so hard. Oh, I have to suffer so much. I'm just things are going so bad. I can't pay my bills and I'm just having such a hard time. Well, those are good requests put in by an uplifted hand. The Lord, what did he say there? Let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For God has said, what's the rest of it? God has said, I'll never leave you. I'll never leave you, nor forsake you. That we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do unto me. The Lord is my helper. The Lord is supplying my needs. The Lord is healing my diseases. Help us, Lord. That's being lifting up a standard, isn't it? That's called to be a saint. Not murmuring, complaining. Oh, this is a hard way. Remember the story, I've heard it told a lot of time. Some sister came to prayer meeting all the time, and she would, well, I say sister, maybe, but anyway, she seemed like every Wednesday night she'd get up and say how hard things were going and how she was having such a hard time living for God and how things was going so bad, and all just seemed like she continually to do that. And then the story is they went on and they had a revival meeting, and a young fellow was there that night, and she went back, and invitation was being given, conviction in the meeting, and this young fellow, she went back and invited this young fellow to come forward and seek the Lord. He told her, he said, I've been coming here for quite a while. And he said, I hear what you say about every Wednesday night. The Lord helps you and I this morning. Oh, call to be a saint. Call to be a saint. Right in the pressure right there. And let your, no, don't murmur them. Can you get away from that thought? God don't want you and I murmuring and complaining. You're killing your testimony. You're killing your influence. You're not, if somebody hear you and I murmuring and complaining about our lot in life and how hard it is to live for the Lord and how it's so much trouble and how things are going so bad, we're just killing our, we can get up and testify. We've already killed our influence of our testimony. Murmur not, he said. Murmur not. Be content with such things as you have. The Lord is my helper. The Lord is my helper. The Lord will make a way. The Lord will supply. This ain't too high, is it? This ain't, I don't think this is expecting too much. The Lord calling you and I to be a saint. To be a saint. What he said someplace else, it said something about call to lift up a standard. And we're also having, not only are we, what did it say over there? Something about not only called or chosen to believe on him, but to suffer also for his sake. Not only called to believe on him, but to suffer for his sake also. There's some suffering going along in this thing. And that's where that your lights are going to shine the brightest. When you and I can suffer patiently, Lord help now. When you and I can bear the suffering, chose suffering, were chosen in some place, said something about some people who were chosen in the furnace of affliction. Chosen to suffer with him. Bearing a cross. If any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Bearing my cross patiently, without murmuring, without complaining. This little light of mine, we sing with the children a lot of times, I'm going to let it shine. All around the neighborhood, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine. When I go downtown, I'm going to let it shine. When I go out in the public, I'm going to let it shine. When I go down to the mall, when I'm all alone, when I'm out there by myself and nobody's seeing me, what I'm doing, I'm going to let my light shine. All around. Wherever I'm at. Under every situation. Under all. Remember my calling. I'm called. I have a definite call from God to be a saint. Right here now. I'm out here all alone. Nobody here. Nobody sees me. Nobody knows what I'm doing. But remember, I'm called to be a saint. Right there. Right there. Nobody. No saints around. Nobody seeing what I'm doing. How I'm dressed. How I look. How I act. What I say. Nobody going to see me. But the Lord sees us, doesn't he not? The Lord calling you and I to be a saint. Right under that situation this morning. Oh, saints, this morning, I hope this will be a challenge to us this morning. Testing where we stand, worthy of the calling that God has called us to be. Called to suffer. You just swelled to arm. The Bible said somewhere about there about suffering, and he said, arm yourself likewise. You're going to be some suffering. You're going to be some suffering. And right there, many times, will testify louder than anything. When you and I can suffer without murmuring, without complaining, and being willing to accept what the Lord, praying down, as we heard last night, God has grace for us to face whatever we have to face. I believe the Lord has grace for you and I to be a saint right wherever we're at. Wherever we're at. You and me, wherever we live, God's calling you to be a saint. He's calling you to lift up a standard right there in your community, right there in your congregation, right there before your children, right there before your unsaved wife or your unsaved husband. God's calling you to be a saint right under those situations this morning. That will have more effect, that will preach louder than any words that can be said by letting them see that I've got this thing in control. God bless us this morning. He said, here, call to lift up the suffering. And he said somewhere, bearing all, Scripture said something about bearing all things. Bearing all things. God's calling you and I, you things you're going to have to bear. There's some strange, Peter said, think it not strange considering the fiery trial that is to try you. They're going to be things happen that you won't know nothing about what's going on. There'll be things that you won't be able to understand. There'll be things come along to your life that'll be beyond. The Bible said, his ways are higher than our ways. What do we do about it? We bear all things. We bear all things. We still maintain our integrity with God. We keep our peace. We keep our commitment. We keep our consecration. We keep ourselves in control. Bringing my body, Paul says, into subjection. Crucifying the flesh and the lust thereof. Bridling my tongue. Help us, Lord. Everybody else is talking. The Lord wants you and I sometimes to just... What did he say one place about our tongue cleaving to the roof of our mouth? You try that sometime. You try to talk sometime when your tongue cleaving to the roof of your mouth. You can't say a word. There's times That's what see me like in my observation of Jesus when he was standing there, and they were abusing him, and they were accusing him, and they were falsely accusing him, and they were spitting upon him, and they were slapping him in the face, and he opened not his mouth. See, the same. He opened not his mouth. That's going to shine out more than anybody else. I heard about, some years ago, David Madden, before he died, naturally. But he was working out on a job, and on a construction job, and he was a pretty husky built fellow, strong fellow. And I know got some problem with his foreman or something like that, if I remember the story right. And the foreman lost his temper and hauled off and hit him right in the mouth and knocked him down. And David kind of knocked him down. He kind of got up on his knees. He put his hand on his mouth, bloody, mouth was bleeding. He put his hand up there, rubbed his mouth, never said a word. Just calmly got up, never said anything. Never retaliated, never made no move towards the man. And the man stood there, I remember that. He stood there and he began to tremble. Began to tremble. He said, I saw more God right here than I ever seen before. Saw more God right here than I ever saw before. The Lord help us this morning to be able to have that kind of a relationship with God, that kind of power working in our life. Being able, when the pressure's on, when the opposition is there, Jesus left us an example. When he was reviled, he reviled all of them. Somewhere it says, someplace in the Bible, about somebody just laying down on the ground, just walking over. There'll be times you'll just have to lay down and let people walk over you. Lord, help us. That ain't easy to do. But remember your calling. You're called to be a saint. You're not called to rise up and defend yourself. Lord, help us this morning. Meekness. That means I have forfeited my rights. When we come to the Lord and we consecrate ourselves to God, we have forfeited our rights. No rights. What did he say there in 6th chapter, 1st Corinthians? What? Know you not, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which you have of him. You're not your own. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your soul. What is it? In your spirit, in your body, and in your spirit, which is God. Which is God. God, we're to allow the Lord to fight our battles for us. Don't go down there. Don't take our brothers along. If he take your coat, you give him your cloak also. Called to be a saint. Who was that fellow that set that example for us? If he slap you on one cheek, you're supposed to turn the other. If they take advantage of you, you're supposed to. If they, what is that, the rest of that there? If they command you to go a mile, go two. Heap coal to fire upon your head. Do good for evil. That's a saint. Talking about a saint. May the Lord help us this morning. That's our calling. If we're testifying this morning to be a saint of God, we're called to follow the footsteps of Jesus, who exhibits. Never a man spake like this man did. He made an impression everywhere that he went. He made an impression on the people. And many times he didn't say a word. One time, John was baptizing there, and he looked down there, And there was a big crowd. I just, in my own mind, there was a great crowd gathered around there and come to the baptizing. And all of a sudden here, John looked around, and I don't think Jesus had a big old halo around his head. I think he was just dressed like the general Jewish people dress. I think his countenance or his looks or his hair or everything like that, I think he just looked like an ordinary Jew. But John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which take away the sins of the world." Jesus made an impression on people everywhere that he went. Never a man spake like this man. Made that impression. We found fault with him. What did Pilate say? One up there said, "We find no fault in this man. Find no fault in this man." Lord, help us to live that kind of life by the grace and the power and the help of God. Daniel was a man of God. And they said they was trying to trick him there and trying to get him in a trap or something or another. And they said they were smart enough. They knew if we're going to get anything about this man, it'll have to be something pertaining to his God. There's no use to try to trick him about things in this old world because he ain't interested in that. Made an impression. God would have you and I to live this life, to present such an image. Heard about that in our Sunday school. God would have you and I to be, and we've talking this morning about Christ being the very image of his Father. God wants you and I to be the very image of his Son. The very image. That's what he's working for. What he says, we're his workmanship created by Christ. Don't you know that he's trying to purge us? Don't you know these trials? Don't you know this opposition? Don't you know this persecution? Don't you know these hard things you do? It's only the Lord trying to shine us up a little bit. He's trying to make us. I believe God's desire that every saint of God be the very express image of his Son. Jesus says, there it mentioned in Sunday school, "You've been with me all week." They said, "We want to see the Father. We want to see the Father." Jesus said, "You mean you've been with me all this time? You haven't seen the Father? When you've seen me, you've seen the Father." God didn't want you and I beholding ourselves. What did the scripture say? Us beholding ourselves in a glass is changed. Changed from the image right into the very image of glory to glory. Purging, cleansing, purifying, working to make out of. Oh, what did he say over there in Jeremiah when he looked up on that, down to that potter's house, and he looked on there, work was going on the wheel, and he noticed that it had mired in his hands, and then he, the old potter, he got a hold of it, and he thought it was good to make it again, and so he picked it up and started making it again, and then the Lord looked on that scene, and he said, Oh, get that word. Oh, listen to me. I want your attention. I want your attention this morning. Oh, house of Israel, cannot I make out of you as this potter making out of this clay here? As clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand. Oh, house of Israel, cannot I make out of you? God wants to make you and I his very image. He wants to create and purge and purify and take all the rough places off. Get rid of all the carnality. Get old self, crucify old self and the lust thereof and the desire thereof and the affection thereof and change in you and I from glory to glory. Purifying, purging. What did he say? He that bringeth forth fruit, he purged it. It bring forth more fruit. And all this time he is
dealing with us, and he got that old grinding stone on there. He got that old polished cloth out. What's he trying to do? Where'd all these trials come through? What's all this suffering about? What's all this trouble I'm having? What's this thing I'm going through? Oh, we're not supposed to murmur, not supposed to glare. Lord, what did he say? Make out of me what you'll have me to be. As clay is, so I am to thee. If we'll submit ourselves and yield ourselves wholly in the hands of God, then God will take you and he'll make you in the very image of his Son. And when the people see you, you can testify to. Somebody comes along and want to say, I want to see Jesus. I want to see Jesus. And then you can say like Jesus said, you mean to tell me I've lived next door to you here for 10 years. I've lived in this neighborhood for 30 years and you haven't seen Jesus yet. Oh, shame on the devil. Shame on you and I this morning. Let your light so shine that they might see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Called to be a saint of God. Called to be to lift up a standard for the people to see. Called to lift up to suffer for his sake. Called to bear the reproaches, to bear the shame, to suffer the things that God allows to come our way without murmuring, without complaining, in patience and godly fear. The Lord would have you there. Oh, what a calling we have this morning. A call to be a saint of God. And so it is. I hope that the Lord will challenge our soul when we leave this meeting and all the good things we've heard and the challenge we've had, the commitment we've made, the consecration we have made, the thought, the dedication we have thought over in our mind. I'm hearing people say here in this meeting, I want to get out and I want to do more for the Lord. I want to be a better example for God. I've heard all these things have been said to me personally while I've been here. Well then, Blake, God bless. You take that determination. You take that consecration you made, or that commitment you made, or those covenants you made with God. Carry them out. Time now to move on out with them. Time to carry on out and perform those things that God has been talking to us to. But oh, going along, I know the Bible, God is more interested in the worker than the worker. And you can't go out there. If you go out there trying to work, you go at first, you're going to have to get things fixed up here in your own life. You're going to have to be able to bear some things. You're going to have it in control, because you're not going to be able, and I'm going to say this, you can't preach without living it. You can't testify without living it. It don't sound right. It's a holler sound. You live shoddy. You live indifferent. You live carelessly. Your mind's on everything but God. You're involved, you're entangled, you're not in tune with God. I'm going to tell you what happens is, when you get up and testify, your testimony is a shallow thing, it is a hollow thing, it has no effect, and so it is. The preacher can't preach a message unless he lives the life. He can get up and holler, he can run across the pulpit, he can drink a lot of water, or whatever it kind of says, but it ain't going to be effectual. It won't reach down into the heart. It won't have the power to it that God would have it to be. And so it is with the preacher. So it is with all of us today, here today. I can't testify any higher than we live. We can do it, but it won't have no effect. You believe that? You can't testify to somebody. You can't testify with authority unless you experience the thing yourself. You can't tell people how Jesus can save you with any authority unless you have been a partaker of it yourself. I was in sin, and God saved me. And he made me a new creature in Christ Jesus. You can only say that if that's really actually happened. With authority. You can say it, but it'll be a shallow, hollow sound. The Lord help us this morning. Call to be a saint. Call to be a saint. Every one of you in here this morning is saved. You have a definite call. You have a clear, definite call.
and that is to be a saint. And somebody said, I heard one of the preachers say, I'd rather be a saint than be a preacher. There's a lot of preachers that ain't saints. I'm not talking about among the saints. But you have to first be partakers of the truth. You've got to first be partakers of the truth. You and I are not going to have much impression on other folks unless we first be partakers of the truth. And then we can stand up and testify. We can witness to people because we are partakers of it. And that way it will have an effect. God will honor that. God will anoint that. God will bless that testimony. God will bless that effort. If I've been partaking of it, what kind of calling do we have? One scripture said for us to make, I know it'll fit right here, but it said to make our election and our calling sure. Calling sure. This morning, you're called to be a saint. I hope this will be a challenge to you and I to get a hold of God. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. Enter in to that standing grace wherein you can stand. Get that power from God to where you can be a clear witness. Oh, what did it say one place? I'm trying to click there. Where did it say over there? Something about if the trumpet make an uncertain sound, how shall the people prepare themselves? If people are looking at me and I'm believing, I'm testifying to be saved and sanctified, and I'm leaving a bleary, bleary vision, how are they going to prepare? If the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, how shall the people prepare themselves? Don't know. Oh, Lord, help you and I, saints. I believe most of us here this morning are claiming to be saints. Let you and I this morning, don't leave. Let us not leave people with a confused mind about what is the right way, how I'm living. How are they going to prepare? Well, look at Brother So-and-so. Well, he claims to be a saint. Look what kind of temper he has. Look how he's all tied up and all these kind of things. Well, he claims to be a saint. I seen something. I know, well, some people fire Paul with anything about it. But don't let it be true. People may fire Paul with us, but our part is to make sure it ain't true. They may falsely accuse him. And they may say, you're a hypocrite. You're not living the life. You're not what you claim to be. But just don't let it be true. Let it be true. Oh, I'm bleary. Religion has left the people in our world with a confused outlook. The devil has succeeded in setting up so many false movements and things and spirits and elements and conditions of this old world that we live in. The people are looking through colored glasses. It's all kind of blurry. Which way is the right way? Oh, God, help you and I this morning. The Lord has called you and I to carry on the work that he started to do. Listen to me now. When Jesus came down here in this world, he walked the shores of time. He taught his disciples the way he wanted them to do. And then he went away. He said, I'm going away, but I'm going to send you another company. I'm going to abide with you today. And now he turned this work over to them to do. God wants to use our hands. He wants to use our feet. He wants to use our life to carry on the work. We say, well, the Lord can do it. The Lord can do it. The Lord does it. He has to do it through us. I realize that. But he wants to use people just like us. His church. He turned it over unto the church to go into all the world and preach the gospel. He turned it over to the church to go out and heal the sick. Do we believe that? Keep in mind, I believe what I said last night. We're the church. He turned it over to those disciples and said, you go into all the world and preach the gospel. You heal the sick. You do that. He said, go and I'll go with you. I'm leaving. Remember the old song we used to say? I've counted on Adam. I've counted on Cain. I've counted on John and he was the same. I counted on Judas and he proved untrue. Go tell the world, Paul. I'm counting on you. And then I believe it goes on now and say, I'm leaving. Paul said, I'm leaving this great work of you. I have said this so many times. If you'll notice in the book of Acts, as you read through the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, what they did, how they lived, how they suffered, how they manifested themselves, the way they conducted themselves. You read how they do that. It goes right on down through the book of Acts. It tells all the things that happened, all they went through. And when it got down to the end of the book, it didn't say a thing. It didn't say goodbye, greet the brother with a holy kiss, or anything like that. It just stopped. Just a comma, period there, and that's all. He didn't say goodbye. He didn't say anything. Just stopped right there. I don't know if you get anything out of that or not, but the thought I get out of it is that God expected the book of Acts to go right on. The book of Acts to go right on. We're living in 1994. Living right here in this world. The people of God, the children of light, the children of light, called saints in light. I believe it's talking something about children in light. We're living right here, and God is expecting you and I to write another chapter. This generation, you that are coming on, God's expecting you to write another chapter in the book of Acts. Call to be a saint. Call to be a saint. May the Lord bless us this morning. I hope this will be a challenge to us. This is the only way. Brother Vargas was over here a few years back. Went around different ones of the congregations. Had little meetings with them, so forth. And I guess he noticed nobody there. Hardly just the same. You're the same. Brother Vargas said, he told, mentioned, at least to me, it's popular to us. He said, well, it looks like the work of the Lord over here in America is just going to have to be one-on-one. He said, looks to me like you're just going to have to go out and deal with the people. They're not coming in. Well, now, we all know that, don't we? Be honest about it. We know that. There are not very many people coming to our camp meeting. I mean, what do we talk about, you know, just people out in the world? There are not very many people come to our revival meeting. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? I believe Brother Vargas was able to see what we need to do. We need to take it to him. Take it to him. And there's no louder message preached. We're repeating ourselves. No more louder message can be preached than living a saintly life. Saintly life. That'll outshine all your words, all your good deeds, all your works, all your giving, all your money. That'll have more effect on people than any other thing that we can do. It's to live. When the Bible swore it, we could do it. He said when he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself that you and I, being delivered out of the hands of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness, in righteousness, and godliness all the days of our life. Right here in this present world. Call to be a saint. Call to lift up a standard where you live. Call to suffer for his name's sake. Call to be an example of what a true Christian is supposed to be like. That's what he's called to do. Let's remember now. Remember, when you go back home and when things begin to happen, they will. You remember, I'm called now. Right here, I'm in this situation right now. But I got to remember now, I'm called to be a saint. Right here. and called to be a saint. And the Lord expected me to manifest the life of a saint right in the midst of this thing. Right in the midst of all this confusion. Right in the midst of all this condition. I have a heavenly calling from God. I believe mentioned that in Hebrews something about a heavenly calling. This is a heavenly calling. Call to be a saint. You pray for me. I'm going to have to live this thing too. I've got to live this thing. If I don't live this thing, I'm just beating at the air. If I preach like this and I don't live it, I'm just beating at the air. That's all I'm doing. So God, you pray for me. Let's pray for one another. And let's take a little inventory of ourselves. Surely after all this preaching, all this meeting, and all these things that happened, we ought to be pretty well equipped to go out now and live the life where you're at. May the Lord bless you this morning.